The room and its contents all vanished instantly, and they stood in the city streets upon a snowy Christmas morning. Scrooge and the ghost passed on, invisible, straight to Scrooge's clerks, and on the threshold of the door the spirit smiled. Then up rose Mrs. Cratchit, Cratchit's wife, surrounded by children, the two smallest Cratchits, boy and girl, dancing about the table, basking in luxurious thoughts of sage and onion. "Oh, what has ever got your precious father, then?" said Mrs. Cratchit. "And your brother Tiny Tim?" "Here's father, mother!" cried the two young Cratchits. "Hurrah!" In came little Bob, the father, with his threadbare clothes darned up and brushed to look seasonable, and Tiny Tim upon his shoulder. Alas for Tiny Tim, he bore a little crutch, and had his limbs supported by an iron frame. "Why, bless your heart alive, my dear, how late you are! Well, never mind so long as you're come. Sit ye down before the fire, my dear, and have a warm, Lord bless ye." The two young Cratchits hustled Tiny Tim off into the wash-house, that he might hear the pudding singing in the copper. "And how did little Tim behave?" "Oh, as good as gold," said Bob. "Better. Somehow he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much, and thinks the strangest things you ever heard. He told me, coming home, that he hoped the people saw him in the church, because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see." Bob's voice trembled when he told them this, and trembled more when he said that Tiny Tim was growing strong and hearty. His active little crutch was heard upon the floor, and back came Tiny Tim before another word was spoken. Belinda sweetened up the applesauce, Peter mashed the potatoes with incredible vigor, Bob took Tiny Tim beside him in a tiny corner at the table, and the two young Cratchits set chairs for everybody, not forgetting themselves, and mounting guard upon their posts, crammed spoons into their mouths lest they should shriek for goose before their turn came. There was, at last, a breathless pause, as Mrs. Cratchit, looking slowly all along the carving knife, prepared to plunge it in the breast. But when she did, and when the long-expected gush of stuffing issued forth, one murmur of delight arose all round the board, and even Tiny Tim, excited by the two young Cratchits, beat on the table with the handle of his knife, and feebly cried, "Hurrah!" There never was such a goose. Bob said he didn't believe there ever was such a goose cooked. Its tenderness and flavor, size and cheapness were the themes of universal admiration. Eked out by the applesauce and mashed potatoes, it was a sufficient dinner for the whole family. Indeed, as Mrs. Cratchit said with great delight, surveying one small atom of a bone upon the dish, they hadn't ate it all at last. Yet every one had had enough, and the youngest Cratchits in particular were steeped in sage and onion to the eyebrows. Then all the Cratchit family drew round the hearth, and they had a song about a child travelling in the snow from Tiny Tim, who had a plaintive little voice and sang it very well indeed. Then Bob served out the hot punch made from gin and lemons, and proposed a toast. "A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us," which all the family re-echoed.
"God bless us, every one," said Tiny Tim last of all. He sat very close to his father's side upon his little stool. Bob held his withered little hand in his, as if he loved the child and wished to keep him by his side, and dreaded that he might be taken from him.
"Spirit," said Scrooge, with an interest he had never felt before, "tell me if Tiny Tim will live."
"I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die. What then? If he be like to die, he had better do it, and decrease the surplus population."
Scrooge hung his head to hear his own words quoted by the spirit, and was overcome with penitence and grief.
"Man, if man you be in heart, forbear that wicked cant until you have discovered what the surplus is, and where it is. Will you decide what men shall live, what men shall die? It may be that in the sight of heaven you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child."
"Mr. Scrooge," said Bob. "Eh?
Scrooge raised his eyes speedily on hearing his own name. "I give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast."
"A founder of the feast, indeed," said Mrs. Cratchit, reddening. "I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it."
"My dear, the children, Christmas Day."
"It should be Christmas Day, I am sure, when one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. Well, you know he is, Robert. Nobody knows it better than you do, poor fellow."
"My dear, Christmas Day."
"I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him, a merry Christmas and a happy new year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt."
The children drank the toast after her. It was the first of their proceedings which had no heartiness in it. Tiny Tim drank it last of all, but he didn't care twopence for it. Scrooge was the ogre of the family. But as they faded, Scrooge had his eye upon them, and especially on Tiny Tim, until the last.